Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? ¡Para nada! No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Welcome to Interesting as Fuck. And we are trying not to start off with laughing, but apparently not doing great. But hey, this is what happens when we record at night and we've had some cocktails.
We're real. We're real. This
real
is what you're going to
AF.
Real AF.
And speaking of drinking and talking to people, which, you know, we opened with this last week and we, you know, kind of told you where we're going to go this week. We are going to make this episode all about the dating scene, how to date, what to say, all that good stuff. We're going to go into the backstories of each of our meet cutes as they're called in books or movies. And you know, I want to kind of take a pause and kind of maybe tell the audience why we thought of this topic particularly. I think, number one, I'm a nerd. I was reading Bloomberg Business Week. And there's an article a couple weeks ago that, let me get it, but it's basically called The Dating Recession. And what it's basically, the premise is that COVID has left, what, 13 million people single in the last since COVID started. So there are more single.
It was 13.3 additional people.
That are single. So how economists basically do the math is basically they go, oh, we historically know that there are this many single people because of their tax returns. And then you kind of, you know, delve into it more from a survey perspective. And then COVID basically moved us to having 13 more single people. And of course, international crowd, this is for the US only. I have not seen any data for other countries, but I have a sneaking suspicion it's probably somewhat the same, that there's been an increase. And one of the things that the article obviously talks about, because it's Bloomberg Business Week, talks about the effects on the economy, right? So less people are going out to eat. You know, obviously there's inflation and there's a lot of things to, you know, talk about, but people are eating in more. People are not going to bars. People are not going to theater events. So they're not meeting people. So they're not meeting new people and they're not dating. And when they do like maybe other things. But I think, you know, Elaine and I were talking about this, and this is kind of the onus as to why we started this podcast, is that we realized that a lot of people, since COVID and since the advent of more technology, more instant communication via cell phone, via IM, whatever you call it, that people have forgotten to talk to each other, how to talk to each other face to face. And I think this article and this data kind of brought that back up to say, hey, let's delve into dating. And so that is our topic for today. And I'm really excited. And I think I'm going to turn it over to you, Elaine, to tell us about your dating story, since we're going on a tangent first, because we have two different stories. And I think they really show the way that people meet, and people still meet this way, I think.
Yeah, that's a great point. They're still meeting this way, the old fashioned way. The newer way, as some boomers might look at it. But let's just throw this up from the beginning. Like, dating sucks. Like, dating's not fun.
Sucks.
Like dating's not fun. Some people like it, but I don't necessarily like dating. But my husband and I met on eHarmony. Oh my gosh, 11 years ago. Coming up here, which is insane to me. Definitely my longest relationship. But yeah, it was just one of those things, you know, the area that we live in is not known for its dating scene. And I knew that I didn't want to date someone who did what I do, because there are very particular personalities in people that do what we do. Just leave it at that. My circle was small. I always said, like, our city is as big or as small as you want to make it. It can be very incestuous within the industry you're in, or the job that you're in, or whatever. So, you know, it after a while, it can feel kind of small. And, you know, I was in my late 20s, and I was like, you know, I had my routine and I loved my routine. And so when I was going out to the bars, or I was going out to eat with my girls, or even with guy friends, or like whatever, like, I was there with them. I wasn't going out to meet people, because that means I was just out with people as like a wing person, right? And not paying attention to the conversation we were having. And we were kind of all at the point where we're like, no, we go out because we want to hang out together or try this new bar or like do whatever. So I wasn't going out to find someone, but I knew I wanted to find someone, if that makes any sense whatsoever. And so I did turn to online dating. But I had tried, you know, Match.com previously, and that was fine, but it obviously had not worked. And this was years and years before I met my husband. But and things like Tinder and Hinge were like brand spanking new. Like this is going to age me. They were still, the intention of them was to meet the person. But like, they were still so new that I wasn't ready to try it. I, you know, had heard about eHarmony, and I was really truly looking for like a life partner out of this. And so I went to eHarmony. I spent like a solid week. I saved Microsoft Word like documents, because the questions are so long and you really have to think about it. I had Excel spreadsheets to keep. Like, and I don't say this because I was like some hot shit or something, but like, you're dating. And the whole purpose of this is to go on multiple dates, right? So I was keeping spreadsheets to be like, okay, you know, Tom, and like, here's where he's from, and here's what he does, and here were the funny things I liked about him, and, you know, Dave, and da-da-da-da, you know, like just whatever it was, so I could keep it straight, right? In case like there were second or third or whatever dates. But like, Our first date was 7 hours. We shut the bar down. We just talked. Like, we just talked. And it was crazy because I liked his, he was one of the first matches that was ever sent to me. I loved his profile. It was great. We started chatting through the email, the EH mail system. And then they're like, all right, well, you guys have done this for a while, so it's up to you if you want to exchange emails or text message or whatever. We talked for a month before we were actually able to get together. And I think that was super helpful because we kind of got to know each other, and each other's personalities and sense of humor is like outside of the online platform. And I was able to get a couple of first dates out of the way to get over that anxiety. And then our first date was amazing. And then literally 2 weeks later, we were like, we're good, right? Like, we can get off this shit. Like, we can get off this. So we did. And literally the rest is history. So we met on eHarmony. But our first date was awesome. I don't remember ever laughing that hard on a first date, or any date for that matter. But yeah, that's our dating story. But, and the two of us get paid to talk for a living, basically. And even still in that situation, like, it was still hard because it's just, dating is awkward, and, you know, it's, you're just trying to get to know people. And I think, but dating has this like extra level to it where, you know, I don't know. It's just crazy, but.
Yeah, I think the issue with dating, right? You're trying to get to somebody to like you. And that gets to the deepest insecurities that we have. Like, you know, the Hello. Sally Field, and I'm sorry, you youngins. Sally Field, this actress, look Wait. It up. There's a, she's got a, there's a gif about it where she wins an award and the first words out of her mouth are, you like me, you really like me, right? And I think it's such a great line because it just hits at the human experience to try to connect to someone. Because it's your, in a way, like dating is your deepest inner thoughts, wondering if somebody either has them or agrees with them. And Absolutely. That's really hard because, again, not everybody's going to agree with you all the time. But first dating, you're putting yourself in such a vulnerable place that anything they say that you can see as a slight against you, you're going to take extremely personal. And yeah. I think that's why dating is so hard, is because you're trying to be liked and don't want to like the other person more.
Yeah. And I will say one of the, like, the biggest things that I learned through the process, and this will, I just want to put this out like right at the beginning in case you're thinking about, you are listeners, because clearly Linda is spoken for, and we'll get to her story next.
Okay. I'm spoken for because I'm speaking for myself. Yes.
Oh, yes, of course. Wow. I should remove that from my lexicon. See, learn something. Man, the hand gestures I'm getting right now, listeners, my goodness. I deserve it. I walked into it. Should taken? What should I use? What should we use?
I don't know what we should use. She's with someone.
She's with someone. It's complicated.
It is complicated. Look, if you're not with somebody and it's complicated, you're fucking doing it wrong. It's complicated all the fucking time. All the time.
That is accurate. But I say you are listeners. If you're thinking about online dating, do not answer those questions in the way you think that someone else wants to read the answers. Answer them for your goddamn self, because you'll start off completely wrong and it will match you with the wrong people if you're not answering for yourself. So we heard from tons of people that was like, oh, eHarmony, oh, that didn't work for me. And they would just, you know, people would just start talking voluntarily, start these stories where we on the drive home or whatever would be like, well, that person didn't answer. We know this person. Like, that's not them. They weren't answering the question for themselves. They were answering in the way that they think a woman or a man that they're trying to attract would want to hear the answer. And it's like, that's ridiculous. So answer for yo goddamn self.
Those questionnaires. So I did also online dating, and maybe one time we'll talk about my insane first date stories, because I got some doozies.
I have one too. We'll save that. Is that
maybe
really?
Yeah, we'll maybe like do it at the end or blooper reel or whatever. But so I was on Match.com for a little while. I was on OkCupid. I was never on eHarmony. But yeah, I think those questionnaires were built by people who were smart enough to go, if you answer these correctly, it actually gives you a much better sense of self. And that is what, and that is how a relationship sort of starts. It doesn't start with you pretending you're somebody else. It starts with yourself. And any successful relationship is that way. You have to be yourself.
Yeah. Why would you present something, like, if you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, why would you present something that there is not what you're selling them?
Well, and I think that, and it comes back to kind of the early thing. And I think the article sort of touches upon this, and we'll put the link of the article on it, but on the episode. I think the main thing is getting together with somebody has a lot of implications, right? Do we buy a house? Do we buy a condo? So there's the article kind of put, it's the pressure of becoming an adult. And I think people are not ready like we were. Like, and I think this has changed with from generation to generation, right? Like, the dream was to have a house and get married and have kids, like back you know, when our parents were younger and even before that. And then now I think with our generation and the generations, that's shifting. What is your dream? You don't want to be alone, but that doesn't mean marriage. That doesn't mean kids. Yeah. That doesn't mean buying a house because it's obviously extremely expensive. So I think there's a lot of that. But then there's a lot of, I think, insecurities into worthiness, right? I think the way we've raised, like how I was raised, for example, let's just say how I was. I'm constantly trying to prove my worth. And that's really hard when you're going and dating people. I think right now you have a lot of people that were told they were worthy all the time. And that's really hard to go out and to date somebody, right? It just goes, well, yeah, that person's being stupid. And you're like, maybe they just don't like you. And that's okay. I think the concept of not being liked all the time is important to know. But I think being honest, again, to Elaine's point, being honest with that, because it's going to teach you a little bit more about yourself. So I think it's really good to know that. So to that end, I will start mine. So this was, I was actually in like a moment, like I had fun. Like it was, I wasn't looking for anything serious. It was like going around, like I went out, I hung out with my friends. It was 2009-ish, something like that. And I was at an event. I'm not going to say what it was, when it was, whatever, but it was quintessential the area where I live in, where we live in. Right. So it was just a bunch of
nerds,
pretentious nerds that were going to an event to celebrate blah, 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 blah. Okay. And I had gone by myself. And I think we've talked about my propensity of going to places by myself because I just don't care. I'm just like, I'm not going to let not going to places. And so I was invited by like a certain group and I had seen them. I had seen the group. They were there. And I go and this is a big group and I knew one person from something else. And I walk up to them and there's a big group and I'm like, oh, hi, how are you? And then I met everybody else and my future husband was there. And so we started chatting. And I think within maybe 5 minutes, I was like, you know, I'm here by myself. So you're going to be stuck with me now. And let this be record that I'm always right. Always. And he also had this like really weird allergy. And I kept like freaking, like my anxiety was like, oh my God. This man's going to die. Like he's going to get anaphylactic shock because it was a really weird allergy. And I was like, I asked all of the waiters. I was like, does this have this in it? Does this have this in it? And then afterwards we went out to the place that I told you earlier that used to be something else. And we hung out and then we like took the red line home, took the subway home and we basically, he stole my library book and he said, cause I'm a nerd again, I was reading a book and he was like, I'm going to take this because that way we can see each other again. And so
I love that story so much, but like y'all have heard, we love stupid shows and we'll quote them. All I can think every time you tell this is he George Costanza'd you. Costanza. Like he stole the clock so that, you know, you'd have to see him again. Or left the muskrat hat at your apartment.
He did. So you'd have
to see him again. But I love it. I love that story so much.
And I think this is the key where also something else is that we had a common interest. We were there for a specific purpose where we were talking about, you know, a policy thing and that is what interested us. And so I think, which comes back to online dating in a way, if you're not talking about what you like and what you're passionate about and what you really enjoy, rather than saying, hey, I like, is this how you say it? Chapel Rowan? Is that how you say it? I don't know. I'm mispronouncing their name probably.
I wish they could see my face because I'm like, I don't know. I think you're right.
I don't. And so I think, like, I, you know, if you say you like her because everybody else likes her, but you don't, and then somebody's a super fan and they drag, eventually that's not going to work. Right. But my biggest dating advice, and I think this is not, people don't think about it, is can you live with the worst trait that they have?
Yes.
And people don't think about that because they're like, oh, I really, really like all of this. And I'm like, you're always going to like that. That's not the problem. The problem is what's the worst thing they're like that they have? What's the worst trait that they have? What is the, are you going to live with that?
And people want, like, we're not even saying, we could throw out a term as simple as red flag, right? And yes, like, don't ignore red flags. And everyone's red flags, beige flags, green flags, whatever you want to talk about, those are going to be different. But I think that's different from what you're talking about, right? Like,
yeah, it's, I wouldn't necessarily call them flags either. It's right. more of, we're all, like, for example, if you're, let's talk about flaws, right? I would say whatever flaw, what's the worst flaw that they have that you can live with, right? Like, if they're selfish, if they are arrogant, if they are a smartass, like, if those are the things that you hate the most about them and you can live with that and you know how to manage that, I think that's the biggest thing about relationships. And I don't mean this also just romantic. Like, these are even friendships, because eventually, even though you don't like it, you're like, nah, I don't, you know, this is not great. But then if you can live with it, then I think that shows that things have staying power, right? And that gets to the concept of learning how to connect to somebody, because you don't know what the worst thing is of somebody unless on a first date. Granted, where we live, I think you can tell that pretty much. our dating scene is notoriously bad. I think they even had a hard time, like, getting, if I think we talked about this, the Love is Blind. We're a Love is Blind city, and they had a hard time getting people. Because I think it was just like people had too many, like, things that they didn't want to be on TV. Like, there, the level of pretentiousness here is insane. And it's intellectual pretentiousness, which is even worse. It's not even vanity. Like, it's even worse. And so I think if you can't live with that, and the only way you know is if you're yourself, know what your worst flaws are, and then are able to talk and connect. And again, this can be as easy as, do you like the same genre of books? Are you watching the same shows? You know, there's a lot of things that you can do to kind of glean that, I think.
And I think, all great points. And I think a point you made on our last episode, there's a different, I don't want to say set of rules, but maybe that's it. When we're talking about, like, work settings and professional settings and personal settings. And so I think, you know, ask all the questions when it comes to dating. Ask all the questions. They're conversation starters. You know, I think it's also, when it comes to dating, I think it's also an opportunity where, unlike maybe work settings, professional settings, other settings, like, you should brag about yourself. You should talk about yourself, right? Like, it's almost like a sales pitch of yourself sometimes. It doesn't have to, you know, that's a little bit exaggerated, but I think, like, ask all the questions. The biggest question in the place we live is, what do you do? Right. Which we talked about this very early on. It's a question I don't like to ask out the gate because that's the expected one. But, like, in a dating scene, ask it. Ask all the questions, because it's not just a way to connect people. It's not just a way to start a conversation. But again, you're kind of digging to be like, what are these? Are we connecting? Like, do we have these flaws that I'm willing to put up with? And one of the things I loved about online dating, and I'm not trying to, like, sell people on online dating, but this is just what worked for me, is that
we're not sponsored.
Well, no, not yet. is I loved that it took out the question of the friend zone. Like, it gave me this confidence I didn't necessarily, because I have a lot of friends who are guys. I was a tomboy growing up. I love sports. I can hang with the guys. And listen, whether someone else interprets me wanting to hang out with the guys as flirting with them, that's on fucking them, right? Like, I'm not going to apologize if you thought I was flirting with you. That's, God, that's a whole nother episode we can get into. But, like, oh, that's flirting. Not a me. Yeah.
That's not a you problem.
That's not a me problem. But I do think that online dating took out this, like, weird, like, ooh, is this, like, we're going out just the two of us. Is this a friend thing? Are we just hanging? Like, could there be more here? It's like, no. I'm going out with you with the sole intent of finding out if we're going to date. Like, online dating just, like, kind of, I don't know. So it gave me this confidence I didn't have before. Or maybe it's not even confidence I didn't have before, but something that I ended dates that weren't going well with that never crossed my mind to say before that, which was, you know, I had a lovely time, but like the chemistry just isn't here for me. So like, I wish you all the best, but like this, you know, like this isn't, I'm not looking like, I don't think we're going to have another date.
We're not going to make it. We're not getting on the lifeboat off the Titanic.
There's going to be, if we haven't mentioned this before, I'm pretty sure we have, but there's going to be so many Titanic references. Just so submersibles many. In general.
Just submersibles. And it's probably one of the reasons we're going to hell, but that's fine.
Oh, girl.
We left.
We're going to be driving the submersible to hell.
Fuck yeah. We laughed too much. Like there was a note made in our files.
Everything that's coming out is kind of an R column that we had every fucking right to do that. This is a total tangent. But, now that we're on a tangent. We do have cocktails tonight.
Oh, yes,
and
we do.
I did want to point out, so I'm drinking an old fashioned, and we all know I love a theme. So I'm a big, big bourbon girl. Big. Wine, bourbon, tequila, those are my things. Those are my drinks. In fact, the 7-hour date that my now husband and I went on was at one of the best bourbon bars. One of the top five bourbon bars, one of the top five brown liquor collections in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Easy to find.
Is it still open, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, okay. They survived COVID. They were selling shit off the racks, and we were driving down there. We're like, "Holy shit, you're selling what? Give it to me!" Like, amazing.
That's how I know we weren't friends then. This is the first I've heard of this, and I'm hurt.
Girl, I have so much bourbon in my house. Do you need to come over and help me drink my bourbon?
I think I help you drink your bourbon. Oh.
That's right. We do. My special stash. Right. That's right. How dare I forget? But I decided tonight, because we also know I love theming my drink with whatever it is we're talking about. An old fashioned is probably what I would most likely order as a cocktail on a first date.
Yeah.
Or any dinner.
Usually I start with an old fashioned unless I know they have a really good margarita.
Oh yeah, love a good margarita.
And then I've literally, like, when I was, I had a work event and literally old fashions. Like, I had old fashions all night. I think in a way, like, it's because we're so insecure about it. So hard to put yourself out there. And I agree basically with everything Elaine said. Do you know how many times I've had men tell me after the fact that they were like, yeah, we were totally into you and you didn't get it. I was like, I don't, cause I'm always around. Like, I'm around like men more. I tend to talk to men more. Like, it's just, I'm more comfortable, I think. And like, I've had men, it was like one person, and I will not say exactly where it was, but it was in a foreign country. And he goes, I followed you in this thing. And I'll tell you where it was after the call, after we're done with the episode. But he's like, I followed you and took pictures of you in this place and you didn't get it. And I was like, yeah, because I'm an idiot.
No. That sounds creepy as fuck.
No. No, it wasn't like we were part of an event, and like it was anyway, but I'll tell you where it was, because it's even like more like when you know what the place is, like you're gonna be like, are you like, is anyway. So I never get it. Because again, flirting, I flirt with everybody. Like I'm just a huge flirt. Like I love it. Love to do it. It's fun. It's fun. It's silly and it's nothing. But yeah, I never got it. And I agree with the friend zone, like online dating kicks you out of that and you become so vulnerable because you're trying to connect with somebody. And I think it goes back to love, right? We always want to be loved. Love is a thing that we need all the time. And I think it's become a biological imperative, and somehow we just need it. And then it becomes kind of a fight or flight thing when we're dating.
Yep.
And it drives up so much anxiety to go, well, is this one person that I'm meeting think I'm worth it? And the real question is not that. The real question is, are they worth it?
Hallelujah. Girl.
Praise Jesus.
Shit.
You didn't think I was going to drop that. I didn't know I was going to drop that. I think we put the onus, and it could be that because like we're women and we think of it that way and men are not thinking of it that way. And we'd love any listener that's like a man that dates would tell us, you know, maybe we're wrong on that. But I think we're constantly looking for other people to prove our worth. And I think it's the same for men in like a dating situation. But the real question is, are they worthy?
Yep.
Unless you're a sociopath or like a horrible person, which most of us are not.
Thank God.
It's about thinking about, you have to think of yourself as the main character on the sitcom.
I love it. Character energy.
You have to have, these kids, they know what they're talking about. You guys know what you're talking about. We need to have main character energy. Main character energy. Does that person like me? And does that person is worthy of me? And that's it. And I think that's,
love it.
It's exactly like how they're doing like interviews now. It's like, they're not just interviewing you, you're interviewing them.
Yes.
And I think that becomes kind of, I think shifts a little bit of the focus and shifts a little bit of the stress and the anxiety of it, because then you're trying to understand them as opposed to putting the onus on you, which I feel like kind of shifts a little bit of the connection. And then the other thing is, I always found it more interesting when I met people in things I liked. Like it wasn't bars. Mm-hmm. Like it was, you know, or like it could be online dating because you're talking about interests. But like running clubs, I hear that's a big thing now. Everybody's meeting people at running clubs. It's because you're looking for interests. Like book clubs, what do you really like? If you really like bourbon, go to tastings, like, right? So I think we've forgotten the art of having interests, right? Because we're always online. We can look up anything. And it's like, goes back to our original point in the beginning. Intellectual curiosity opens up so many doors. And I think not only in like work, personal relationships, but also romantic relationships.
Yeah.
If you understand your interests, you can bring that out to anybody, and you can meet people in places that you don't even.
And the person, people that you date, or even the person you might end up with, or people you might end up with, right? Like you do you. You're not going to have every interest the same. And that's perfectly okay. And it's not just interests that are roots in your relationship. You like interests, right? You lead to values, but this is why you ask the questions, right? Is like, do these flaws that Linda was talking about, like, does their worst flaw, are you willing to put up with that worst flaw because you have the same exact values or because you have the same exact vision of your future, whatever that looks like, where like, this person fucking gets me. And I think you made a great point about this too. That's not just with romantic relationships. Like, I say this about my closest friends, like, yeah, my fucking people. It's all, it's like, I just keep finding myself, this is my fucking person. And like, that can be, that can mean so many things. So I know like this episode was inspired by this Bloomberg article, which I did find super interesting. And it did have that like economic twist to it. But I think like, you know, this is why we just lead to conversation, right? It's just, there's so much more to it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're at, just another tangent, I think we're at a major inflection point in society, right? I think, like you said, our values, our morals, what we think is the truth, how we interpret the truth, how we interpret opinions is changing because of the internet. We have all of the information of the world at our fingertips. Therefore, we are hyper aware of what's going on every place. And we have, and I think where this is going to be another episode, but learning the art of the disagreement, because you're not going to agree with everybody 100% of the time. I've never met somebody that I have agreed with 100% of the time, including Elaine. We have, I love a comedian that she hates like real bad.
Like, you can't have it one way. You got to have it.
And I'm not
the other.
And I'm not going to out him.
No, I won't either.
We won't. We won't, because we respect people here. So
we'll name names with love. We will not name names with hate.
Exactly. And I can't name a name where I know will lead to hate. So I'm just going to keep it to myself. And so I think that's the thing, like learning the art of the disagreement. Again, that will be an episode I think we're going to talk about. But you're not going to agree with everybody all the time. And that's okay. It's okay. However, there are some major things that you have to like. And that's how you know what that red flag, if you think it's a red flag or a flaw or whatever, if it's a thing that you know. And usually it's not. Because if it's something that's really intense, like I don't want to bring up like really intense things, but if it's an intense thing, you can't live with it. That's what it is, right? You have to walk away because it'll always come up. It'll always be a thorn in the side.
Right.
And always like move forward. And this, I think, even works for personal relationships, right? With friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're a certain way. And I think the key is, and I think one of the things that I think we talked about very early on with dating was that I don't think either of us were the women that only talked about the guys we were dating. No. Our life was not centered around our dating life.
Never.
Yes, it's fun to talk about. It's, you know, super silly. You're like, get to be like a little giddy, giggly, whatever. But it wasn't the only thing we talked about. And we weren't friends in that dating thing, but I'm sure that then we wouldn't have just been talking.
Right. Absolutely.
So I think as men and as women, you have to remember that you are still going to be you. You're just going to be you in function of somebody else. And you're still you, and you shouldn't disappear into somebody else. And I think a lot of people sometimes think they need to. And that's where you kind of have the questions that you don't answer because of what they think, because, you know, what they want other people to say.
Yeah, but, such a good point.
But all that to say, dating sucks. It's not fun. It's not fun until you decide to have fun about it. Like I when I was dating, I was not depressed about it. I thought it was funny.
No.
I thought it was like interesting because I think we're the same. Also, we like to meet people. We like to chat. We like to talk. We like to, you know, do all this stuff. And I think that's kind of, if you go about it from like an innocent way, like in a way of like, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to meet people and I'm going to have fun. And things happen. They always do somehow, because positive energy like brings back positive energy, which is, silly, but it's true.
But I think that's a good segue. Do we want to each give like our worst first date story to close it out?
Yes. Let's close out with our first. And mine wasn't even horror. It's just fucking hilarious. It's just fucking hilarious.
You go first then. I told my dating story with my husband. So you kicked the phone off.
This was when I was on Match. And I was, it was like, I don't even remember the year, but basically met this guy and, you know, we had like chatted back and forth and we were like, let's meet at this bar. And I was like, have dinner. Okay. I was like, okay, cool. And we meet and we get to talking and the conversation's really flowing, like, you know, very good. And he's talking back and it's not just me like, you know, because I have, you know, I think we all know that I'm just like chatty Kathy. And at some point, my brain goes, wait, he's been talking about his past relationship a little too much. What's up here?
Whoa.
And eventually I find out he's just broke up with his ex-girlfriend who used to be, they were about to get engaged and they broke up. I want to say 3-4 months ago. It was like a 7-year relationship, 7-8 year relationship. But wait, they were still living together.
Okay. Two red flags.
Yeah. They were still living together. Oh, no, just wait. Just wait. It gets better. After the date the next day, he sends me a short story.
Oh, dear God.
That he wrote about her.
Oh. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
A Google Doc, because we had Google Docs then. He sent me a story, a short story that he wrote about her, about how the relationship broke up.
Oh,
the next
honey.
Day. Yes.
What did he think that was going to do?
I don't know. I will say though, people are weird with me. So I think maybe he just wanted to like have somebody to like talk it out with.
Can you edit this for me?
Yeah. Can you just, you know, can you psychoanalyze like what this means to me and should I get back together with her? Because obviously my every thought is consumed, but it was funny. Like I was not hurt. And it was like, we actually had a good conversation. It was a good date, but like, it was just, and when I was like, oh, you're still living with her? He goes, yeah, but we're totally broken up. Like, we don't, like, we have separate rooms. And I was like, yeah, sure, buddy.
If you have separate rooms, that ain't.
Yeah, yeah. So that was, and I, again, was not hurt because I was like, this isn't going to work out. This is not, he's not worthy of me because he's obviously still hung up on somebody else. And so that was my worst dating story. And I just think it's still funny because it's funny in the sense that people tell you who they are and you better listen. And it would have been on me. It would have been 100% on me if I'd continued that.
Preach. Fucking preach.
So that's my worst dating story.
I'm going to give, I have to pee so bad.
All
right. So we're going to this right here.
We're going to pause. All right. Hold on. Do I stop or do I don't know.
No, if no,
I
no.
Pause. Okay. No. We'll just leave it and then I'll cut it out.
Do like the mark clip. I don't know if you like, what is this mark?
Yes. Yes. Mark clip. Add marker. Yes. Good call.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry. I was all like, right. I so, can't
no,
wait
no,
till
no,
the
no,
end.
No, no, no,
like,
no.
Like, literally, that's food. Yeah.
So wait, I'm going to add another marker now.
Perfect.
Cool. And we're back. Thank you for...
Leave it all. I don't care.
Yeah, I should have kept talking. Damn it. I should have gone, like, I should have told another story.
That's all right.
I have good ones. I have some good ones. But that one is, like, the worst one. Because it's not worse, because it's just funny and memorable.
It is. It is. But...
Your turn. Well,
I'll save what I'm going to say for after mine, because I truly believed this. So mine was my first eHarmony date. I got like all excited and was like, we're going to do like an 8 o'clock dinner on a Saturday night type of like, let's go out to like first mistake. I know.
No, that's cute. I think that's adorable. Like, I've missed that. That's why I'm like reading all these romance novels, like that giddiness of like going out with somebody and having a good time.
Yeah, but at the same time, I was like, it should have just been like a drink at a bar, because if shit went sideways, which it did, like I would have an easy out. But I was stuck at dinner. So anyway, so one of my first matches, not my husband. Clearly, this is not the first date with my husband. First date with my husband.
Spoiler alert.
No, but it literally in the same group. So if you've ever done eHarmony, and this is over a decade ago, so I assume it's somewhat similar, but you don't get to, you can't peruse like on a match.com or another website. You can't peruse and say like, I want within, like, give me all the blondes that they were going to match me with, or give me all the, you know, 6-footers they were going to match me with. You can only peruse the matches that they've sent you previously. And so some days you'd get 10 matches. Other days you'd get 3. There were days I got 0. So it was just, you know, whatever. So my first batch of matches, like my now husband and this worst first date, are in that same email. So anyway, so start talking to this guy. And, you know, he's cute in his pictures. And again, like, I think he was someone who might have answered questions, and he's like, oh, ladies would love to hear this, so I'm going to answer it like this. Like, I don't think he was true to himself. But so we set up this date, 8 o'clock dinner on a Saturday night at a restaurant I love. And he shows up late. So I'm like, all right. Yeah. 15 minutes late. I'm like,
that's like worse than a blow dry bar appointment. You're like 15 minutes. You're
I'm like, where are you going with this, girl?
Oh, crap. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Shit.
No, I didn't even
realize what I was doing.
I was like getting red in the cheeks with that, where you were. No. So he's 15 minutes late, which, you know, that's like, we're not talking you missed the metro you wish you had caught. And whatever. He rolls in late in a hat. Still not like, you know, raising the red flag. Cargo shorts, not quite raising the red flag yet. Adidas, like the slides that you wear, like on the pool deck, like fucking nubby ones. So like maybe 3 strikes, there's 1 red flag. Because I'm like, where are you fucking date, man? Like, I got dressed up. I put makeup on for this. I blow dried my hair. All right. Like, come on. Put a little effort into it.
You went to the blow dry bar. Which probably didn't exist at the time, but I needed to make that joke to redeem myself from
this. Is why we're... So... I'm like, all right, this guy looks like a schlub. Like, he's just... he looks like an idiot. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? So he rolls in hot. He's just like, oh, I am... The cab just dropped me off. I didn't have a chance to shower or change. And I'm like, fuck is... What is he talking to? What's
sir,
happening?
This is a Wendy's.
Like,
sorry.
He's all fucking gone to Wendy's. He's like, this is, I swear to God, it just keeps getting crazier. He's like, I was late because, not even, I'm sorry I was late. It was, I was late because I thought I could, I had like an air conditioner window unit that I was going to return to Home Depot. And I figured I would do it on the way here, which I'm like, okay, strike that there's a window air conditioner unit that's needed. And there's not fucking air conditioning already in your apartment or wherever it is that you live. You had, it's a Saturday. You had all goddamn day to do this. Or tomorrow's Sunday. Like, do it then. I don't know. So, as he, like, he hasn't even sat down at the table yet and all of this is coming out. Like, what the fuck, man? So, here's what this is doing for me. Because I was nervous as hell for this date. Because I hate, again, like, dating's kind of stressful. So I'm like, I'm sitting, I'm listening to this guy, and I'm like, the fuck am I doing wasting my time with this? Like, I'm not, like, it's, so it's in a weird way, it's like empowering me. And so he sits down, and I'm kind of waiting for him to, like, take off the hat, because we're at kind of a nice restaurant. But, like, listen, like, I love a good hat. I love dudes in hats. Like, I think it's a lot of, like, men look very attractive in hats, so. It wasn't like a terrible thing, but he also didn't look like his pictures online, which was, I was like, Jesus Christ, man. So it's just like one thing after another. We are not, I had been there 15 minutes. I already knew what I was going to order, but I was like, take your time. It's fine. I had ordered myself like a little glass of wine, just to sip on it. Figured we'd order a bottle of something, whatever. So we're sitting there. I already knew what I wanted. The waiter hasn't even come over to ask us what we want to eat. And I knew exactly how much money he made a year. And let me tell you something. I didn't fucking ask him that question. I didn't ask him any question that would even, where that response would ever be appropriate. I knew exactly how much money he made a year. So what I did, oh God, I wish you guys could see Linda's face. So what I did.
It's very rare when I'm speechless. I think everybody knows this.
I went to the wine list. Okay. You want to brag about that? And listen, I didn't go, like, we're not even, I think the bottle was like $60. Like, we're not talking anything completely outrageous here. But I went, all right. I was looking for something where it was like super, I don't know how into wine he is. I don't like. We don't need to make this like a super expensive thing or expensive at all. I'm perfectly happy with ordering a bottle of this, but I'm like, all right, we're going to go to this one because that was the other one I was eyeing, but I thought maybe we'll do the cheaper one. Because I'm like, he clearly thinks that this is something that would impress me. I'm like, no, now I'm just going to use it to my advantage. So I ordered the nicer
bottle of wine.
Right. I ordered the nicer bottle of wine. We order our dinner. And it's just like, it just, the worst stuff happened in the beginning. Yeah, it kind of like hockey sticked in the wrong direction and then just like plateaued there. So it just kind of kept staying there. And, you know, I'm just like, again, I'm kind of getting empowered this whole time where like I'm almost now looking back on it, I'm almost kind of thankful for it because I realized like, wait a minute. Fucking catch. Like, why am I nervous about these? Like you said, like, are you worthy of my time? Not even my love, my respect. Like, are you worthy of my fucking time? And this guy was not worthy of my fucking time. But you know, I had proposed the idea of dinner on a Saturday night. So of course I stuck around for dinner. What I didn't do was do the check dance. I am big on first dates. I'm splitting the bill with you. Because here's the other fucking thing. I made more than him when he announced how much money he makes. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't respond with, I don't care. I didn't respond with, I make more than you, or here's how much I make, because nobody fucking cares. And Like even in this story, I don't say that because it was any extreme amount of money, but like, why even fucking say it? Like, it's pointless. It's clearly because he thought it was going to be something of note, and I don't give a shit. Like, I don't give a shit.
And I think that's kind of, again, reading the romance novels that I'm reading, I think there's still the thought process about women being obsessed with them. But what's happened to, like, the economy now is that we make our own. Like, we don't, women are not staying in marriages because they're the sole breadwinner. Some of them are because their husband is a sole breadwinner, is what I mean. But others are not. Others can leave. And I think that's what makes that money conversation such a big thing for men, because they're always either, they always go two routes. They either go, I want to impress women with the amount of money I'm making, or I'm afraid that they're going to want to take me for all I've got, type of thing. So it's, and it's, and it's society. I don't think it's like men's fault necessarily. I think it's how society is being built. But that is a fucking awesome story. Because I think it, again, leads you to their point. Like, you cannot live, you couldn't live with whatever had just happened. I don't even know what that was. I think let you me lost me. I think you lost me at the like Adidas slides.
It wasn't the cargo shorts or the.
It wasn't like the cargo shorts. The cargo shorts. I was like, it was the Adidas slide part. Yeah. I was like, I don't. Like, first of all, everybody wore those in high school.
Yeah.
When we were like, nobody wore them anymore.
No.
It was bad.
So like, but I'm thankful for it because it did empower me and it made me realize like, no, you got to prove to me. I don't need to prove shit to nobody. Like, so that was good. And what was just to show you how out of touch he was.
There's more.
We get to the end of the date and he's like, I've had a lot of fun. Do you want to go grab a drink after this? And I looked right at him and I said, no. Again, kind of, right? Like taking that, here's a good way to exit a situation. Don't have yet. Do you want to just like grab a nightcap or something? I said, no, I'm sorry, bud. I'm not feeling the connection here. Like I wish you the best. And I left.
Good for you.
Because I think we as women also tend to give our time to people. We're more willing to give our time to people that don't deserve it, whatever that stems from, whatever the reason is that you, or just automatically, if that's just what you do. And I, like, I would do it too. I feel like I just, to be the nicer person, like, I'd be like, yeah, sure, let's grab one more drink in like most situations, even if I'm exhausted or whatever. But no, I was like, and I wasn't mean about it. I just said, listen, I'm just not feeling the connection and I wish you the best, but I think we're good here. And that was it. Like he wasn't mean. He didn't come back at me with messages on eHarmony. And, you know, like there are certainly horror stories of all of that for sure. And I'm sure we could tell 100 of those, but yeah, I will never forget it. And honestly, from that point on, I was just like, no, this is their fucking tryout. This is not my tryout. I know what I am, who I am, what I deserve. And you are the one trying out. And I hope, and I'm sure when I went on my first date with my husband, he was probably thinking the same thing about himself and about me. And that's why we work. It's one of the many reasons we work. But like, I hope he thought the same thing about me.
And I think, and you brought up a good point around things. And of course, there's horror stories and all that. and not to say that like people were asking for it, but I think there's a certain amount And there's people that take advantage of other people that they deem weak. Yeah. And I mean weak in the sense that they project weakness. That doesn't mean you are. That means you want to please that person. And that if you give them like even an inch, they'll be like, I'm going to burrow my way into that. And I think that conversation for you, like he would have never, like he was like, you gave him no, like, it wasn't like, oh, it's like the being on the hook. Like I'd seen that episode on how I Met Your Mother. I don't think it's enough to like make a reference because we don't really reference that one. It's like being on the hook, right? You're leaving the door open. If you close that door, they know, you know, and you can move on. And I think usually, again, we're not talking about the psychopaths and the sociopaths that like you may come across. Because that you can't control. But if you can control how you react to someone, say, hey, I'm not doing this. Like, for example, the guy that sent me the story, I never responded to the story. And he got
good.
It. He didn't follow up. Like I didn't message and was like, the fuck are you doing, dude? Like I think my silence was obvious. Like it was obvious because he knew what it would be like. Right. So, and I think you telling that guy to be like, hey, this is clearly not going anywhere. And I think it's always a thing about shooting your shot. I think the guy just tried, honestly. And you were like, I'm out. Like, I don't need this. And that's in the end what you need to do. You need to be very clear about what you want and what you don't want. And I think then in the end, you know, things usually fall in place. But yeah, dating sucked. I did have a good time sometimes. Like it was like fun. I did some fun things. I met some fun people. But I think the sucky part of it is again trying to connect to somebody. And I think we can come back to the fact that if you're authentic, know what you want and are very clear to the other person and remind yourself that you're the one that is worthy and they have to prove themselves to you. Obviously, don't be a dick about it. I think that is, you know, the principles there. And I think that, you know, again, doesn't just serve you in dating. It serves you in personal relationships.
Absolutely.
And I think if we get out of our head a little bit, that becomes a little bit more attainable. And with that, we're getting long. We're going longer and longer.
I love episodes. It. This was a good one.
It was a good one. I mean, I think it's, we're always better. Even though we have great conversations anyway, but
always
all this to say, I think that wraps it up. Again, you know, we'll take you into our next episode. But first, you know, again, if you want to share your dating crazy stories, feel free. If you want to email us and ask a question, like happy to, you know, if we can answer it, we will. Obviously, take anything we say with a grain of salt, margarita salt preferably. But
yes.
That to say is that we have our next episode is the doc is in. So, and we, I think, chatted about this, the last doc is in because it was just so good. Elaine, take us away. Tell us what that is. And I will tell some like logistical things about it.
Yeah. I got super jacked up. Like that wasn't on the spot. We made a decision. But our next documentary will be The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. It is.
That's right.
Goddamn. You'll just get, talk about things you never thought would amp you up. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Because
if I don't leave it at that, I'm going to get amped up and I'm going to spoiler alert. But
indeed. So just to remind everybody, it is, it came out in 2007. Is free on Tubi. So I've never watched this one. I'm really excited. I'm going to be watching this one. So I'll be like you, fellow listener for the first time. I will keep my what the fucks to a minimum. Obviously my text to Elaine, because usually when she sends me a rec, my first thing is what the fuck. It's a lot of what the fucks. So it's free on Tubi. So you can watch it there. It has a 97% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which does not surprise me because Elaine suggested it. but it is out there. I think it's like 97 minutes or something, like an hour and 19 minutes. So it's quick, feels free. And we are really excited. So again, we, you know, are excited about the next one. We will meet you here next week. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And with always email us if we made a mistake, if it wasn't, obviously we're not talking to everybody's experience in this one, but, and if you want to show us your tricks, and as always, Elaine, sign us off.
Stay interested.